Welcome to the Rooted in Change podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Jan and you're listening to the Rooted in Change podcast. This show features European clean tech champions and their solutions to tackle the climate crisis. Today's guest is Emmanuel, the founder and CEO of Mantle 8. Hydrogen has been one of the hottest topics in climate tech and one that many have placed their hopes on. Traditionally, discussions focus on green hydrogen, but now there's a new kid on the block, natural hydrogen. If you're in the space, you will have seen several funding announcements over the past few weeks for companies working on white or natural hydrogen. So it's a hot space, and I'm excited to speak to one of the leading companies in the field today. Welcome, Manu.
Thank you, Jan. I'm so pleased to talk to you today. Very excited.
Likewise. So I ask my guests all the same question to start off with. Who are you as a person? So tell me, who are you?
I would qualify myself as a geologist first. So I'm really a geologist. I think, it's coming back on my root. You know, your podcast is about roots, right? On mine, you know. I'm a geologist from the mountains, from the Jura Mountains nearby Switzerland, right, in France. And, you know, I grew up in this environment, which is really about nature, you know, forest everywhere, lakes, these kind of things. And you are like within geology. So one of the first motivation when I was a kid, you know, was to understand how those mountains basically, you know, form and how you can explain that fossils, you know, can be found like at 1,000 meter above sea level, this kind of thing, right? And what is also interesting in this place is like that's one of the places where you do feel climate change.
Right.
When I was a kid, it was still considered to be a super cold part of France, yeah. You know, you can ski and so on. That's not the case anymore, right? When you know, you're lucky and so on. So like, you know, in my journey to Mantle 8 and to found Mantle 8 through my different, you know, steps within my career, starting from, you know, research and then moving to industry and then, you know, making this Mantle 8 initiative alive, you know, I was making, you know, the connection between these two sides, like, you know, the critical crisis of climate, you know, so you are there as a geologist, you see the impact of it, you know, the deep changes that are at play right now. And also you need to understand how, you know, you can basically tackle it through geological, you know, solutions. And of course, energy is about geology, resources about geology. And I think that the future of energy could actually also come from geology. So that's why, you know, I'm really a geologist, you know, from the roots and from the solutions we want to develop.
Lovely. Thank you for that intro. And then you mentioned the geology as the sort of core theme of, well, your journey and also Mantle 8's journey. As some people, most people might not be familiar with geology. Let's start there. What is natural hydrogen? Because, you know, sometimes it's called white hydrogen and so on. So what is it that's so different, so new about that in the context of hydrogen?
Yeah, I think it's coming back to geology, actually, because, you know, so there are different terms for, you know, what we are calling here natural hydrogen. Some people say, well, white, because it always refers to a color. Some people even mention geological hydrogen. I do like this term because it really focuses on where it does come from, right? Natural hydrogen is something which is coming from the ground, which is something that nature does itself, okay? And which is coming from the interaction within water molecule and rock. It reacts and it generates hydrogen within the ground. So you don't need to manufacture it, right? It's generated naturally. And then it's flowing to surface. And in certain circumstances, you know, it can be stored, it can be trapped within a reservoir depth, and then you can produce it, right? So well, there are still some people really questioning if it exists or not. Well, the reality is it exists, and we knew it since decades, right? Within the oceans, you know, that is bubbling, you know. When you are going to certain places on continents, you see this hydrogen flowing at the surface, and it's not true. It's not, you know, new. And the real challenge is basically to be able to find it, you know, and to produce it at scale, which is about Mantle 8 want to do, right?
And we'll get there in a second. But I found that really an interesting insight to say, look, natural hydrogen has been a thing for much longer. Because in the intro, I said, look, natural hydrogen is the new kid on the block. Maybe it's not such a new kid on the block. Maybe the part that's exciting and new and novel now is we're finally able to find and produce it at scale.
That's exactly the point. I think it was overseas. In the past, people were not considering it at like something really, really big to explore and to produce. Well, the more you're looking at it, and the more you're finding it, which is about exploration. That what
Right.
means exploration, and the promise is enormous, right? So just focusing on where we are in Europe, we are exploring actively. Literally tens of place and you're able to find that, right? So that's reality and that's not new. The point is now to add this potentially new way to obtain hydrogen within the market and to deliver it, right? So
Right.
that's part of what we are really dedicated to do.
Right. And before we go into how you actually do this, let's just take one last detour to sort of get the full picture on the hydrogen color scheme as well. Because I mentioned in my intro that most people in climate tech, I guess, are focusing on sort of, well, either a combination of colors, but then green hydrogen has been the talk of town, or at least the goal that most people have aspired to. Why is that not enough? Like, there must be a reason why natural hydrogen has become such a core focus now, because you could argue if green hydrogen were enough and cheaply, abundantly available, and so on, then there's no need to sort of go that extra, which I guess f from everything you've described sounds like a hard undertaking to find and produce it at scale. That doesn't sound like an easy challenge. But why is that the challenge that we need to embark on? Why is green hydrogen not living up to our expectations just yet?
I think there are actually two very important parameters that could explain why natural hydrogen at its pace today. I think the first one is cost, and the second thing is time. So cost, well, when it turns to manufacture hydrogen, if you are going to green hydrogen, you use a lot of electricity, so you need to produce this electricity coupled with renewables, and you need water, and then you need also efficiency. Well, it was a fancy and a lot of investment the last couple of years within it, and the reality is even with all of this, the cost of production of green hydrogen is like today $6, $7 per kilogram, something like
Right.
this. The ecosystem aims to make it like cheaper. Well, if you compare this cost with the use of oil and gas, gas to generate hydrogen, we call this gray hydrogen. It is more like $1, $2 per kilogram.
Which is a massive difference.
That's a massive difference. That's where competitiveness is so important. And of course you can get money coming from government to help the green and so on. Well, this difference in cost that we call green premium, right, which is the difference between the carbon intensive solution versus the clean solution, is huge in this specific case, right? So that's still a huge challenge to compete with the gray hydrogen. Then natural hydrogen, by definition, when it turns to drill and to produce an hydrogen which is already done by nature, is by definition, as simple as producing, natural gas. So that's not asking, any kind of water, a lot of power to develop it, and the quantity of energy to produce it is super limited. And in the best case, you get it like super concentrated, making like what you will produce at the wellhead gonna be the cheapest within the market. So when we're turning evaluation of this, it's turned to be less than $1 per kilogram, so
Right.
literally competitive with a gas solution, with carbon intensive solutions.
Yeah, I
So
think
that,
that's a really good summary. That sort of, the cost availability.
and the second is time, and time is just about climate.
Right.
So climate is not waiting. So if you need 2, 3, 10 years to make like green hydrogen really competitive with the carbon intensive solution, then natural hydrogen has this power to make it faster and deliver this cheap hydrogen so the world can literally make the pivot to hydrogen faster. That's how we see, the power of natural hydrogen.
Right. And then what I'm hearing from you, the real challenge is actually finding the hydrogen then, right? The natural hydrogen, because the way you described it is, well, the production is not massively different from traditional gas exploration. So from an infrastructure perspective, that we know how to do, right? Because the energy or the oil and gas sector specifically is super efficient. This is what they've been working on over the last 100 years or so to make that process even more efficient than it already was back then. So what we then will be focusing on is the finding part of natural hydrogen.
You're right. And that's what Mantle team and my amazing team basically learned over the last years. What you need is to change the way we are finding hydrogen, because so far those finding in reality highly pure hydrogen within reservoirs, they did that by accident. This is not science, right? Strategy, is really often, to reprocess from oil and gas data or to detect by making airborne surveys, kind of things, right? Surface. Well, if you would apply that to oil and gas, you would find, what is just leaking at the surface. So you would not find, all of the different oil and gas fields that were discovered over the last century. So now, the reason why, geologists as are so, excited about this potential revolution is because it turns to be geology. So what we want is to be able to find the best location by, and predict them, and that you need the technology, you need a lot of geological knowledge, and also to clarify what you really want to find, what are the best location, what is the best, geological parameters that gives you the best chance to find, not only a lot of natural hydrogen within the ground, but to be able to produce it, because in certain, cases you have hydrogen that's known, right? But you cannot produce because the rock is super tight. So even though you drill, you cannot produce it. So it tends to be like non-conventional. You need to frack to produce it. And this is not what Mantle 8 want to do. What we want is to take the benefit of what nature can provide you, and this is the only way to make like the cheapest way to produce your hydrogen as a surface, which is our challenge, right? So that's this. So to be able to get the critical technology to predict where to go to produce your hydrogen is really, really key to go and to face scalability and fit, the market.
Gotcha. And then following up on that, what you just said, and it links back to the very beginning of our conversation where, you are a geologist, but I guess by heart and training. So it's not just training, but also the emotional connection to being a geologist and geology as a field. What's Mantle 8's secret sauce to finding hydrogen? It's sort of what, I mean, geology is obviously one, being rooted in your training and being rooted in geologists' knowledge is one obvious one, but what else is there? Why are you able to do this and others aren't?
I like the idea of secret sauce, especially as a French, because when you want to get your sauce, you need to know which ingredients, you need to make your sauce, and so you need to know how to combine your ingredients to be sure that the sauce is going to be the one you expected. And as soon as you get all of that, then you get your sauce. I think for Mantle 8, that's exactly the same. As soon as what are the good ingredients? What is the way to generate your hydrogen? Then you need, to develop the adapted technologies, to be sure that the ingredients are there in the really good conditions, and then you will get your cells. And that's what, Mantle 8 was first clarifying. What are the critical ingredients we need to demonstrate to get within the ground? What are the way to predict not only the locations, but what are the quantities and the productivity of those reserves? Because of course, what you need to produce at the top is like, a lot of hydrogen to be competitive. And that's what Mantellate developed over the last few years. So the first kind of bucket of technos is just about getting a massive amount of data globally. What we have is algorithms. So we can process those data to be sure that in this specific place you have the ingredients. And those ingredients, we call this in Mantellate the geological trifecta, which are three pieces of geological elements, so ingredients for the sauce that are super, super, super key. One is like getting the best rocks, and this type of rock is mantle, which gave the name to Mantellate. The second one is to be sure that these guys are connected to reservoirs that you can produce, because that's not only the fact of getting the right rocks generating hydrogen. What you want is like this gas is somewhere stored with a massive amount of hydrogen, and then you can produce it. So you don't want to stimulate. And the end, and potentially the most important one, is to be sure that this rock today produce hydrogen. So you have replenishment. And this is really, really key, because everybody knows that the hydrogen molecule is so small that it could, flow across a different kind of rocks, so it's not staying for a very long time, at depths. That's a risk. And the second thing is like that's super reactive. So the more it stays within the rocks, the more it has a chance to react and turns to be something that you don't want to find, like methane, for instance. So as soon as you define this trifecta, the technology is about first being sure that in a specific location you are matching this geological trifecta. So you are targeting the where. And as soon as you know the where, what you want is to quantify the quantity of hydrogen that is recoverable from the subsurface, which is the second pile of technology. And the second one is about geophysics plus geochemistry. And the first pilot, that will be able to show this, like an all-in-one technological solutions to monitor your hydrogen at depths, in the right situation with the right design, is about to come in the next couple of weeks. So we are super proud of it. So that's what the secret sauce is about, right?
Very impressive. And then the you just start to sort of embark on this journey. How far have you actually come? Because this feels like a conversation. I think I mentioned white hydrogen or natural hydrogen on this podcast first time in November, and I think this was the first time it was really on my radar. It was not something that the world or the ecosystem was talking about. And out of a sudden, and I mentioned this in the intro of the podcast, come now, the start of 2025, everyone is talking about this. Like, everyone is talking about natural white hydrogen. So there's sort of this massive boom in the industry out of a sudden, which, great, love to see that. So how far have you come, and sort of what's maybe also your view on the competitive landscape overall, because out of a sudden there seem to be so many different companies working in their field that, again, a few months ago was under the surface, not sort of for the general public, not even existed.
You're right. That's potentially because that's something which is totally new. So it's just fitting with the moment, with what people like find. That's a new radical solution to provide, significant quantity of hydrogen with a very good price. On the other hand, what we did so far, which is back, to what Mantellate does. So of course, like the exploration journey is something we are doing every single day. Okay, so literally, collecting the data, processing the data to target the where is something that we are doing, and we found like numerous places in Europe first, right? Because I was
Exciting.
supposed to do that in Europe. And the good news is like we can say with very high confidence that Europe is a place to be, because the geology is really, really prolific for what we are really. And then as soon as you define the where, what you want is to be sure that you can monitor hydrogen at the surface and check like what your model predicts and so on. And we did that already, and we found like crazy measurements of the surface, and that's not published yet, so people still ignore. But you can literally see the flowing hydrogen at the right place to make you so confident that hydrogen is just underneath. So you are going in the field, you measure, you check that, right? And then of course you take permits options, well, you are facing the reality of regulations as well, because all of that is taken. And we did that already a couple of times. So we are already backing certain areas that are really highly promising. But we see the moment they are like a kind of gold rush globally. That's what you are every single week. But we think, of course, it's a moment to get options to find the right location and get permits. But we don't want to get permits everywhere. This is not like a real estate game. What we want is to find the specific right location, because every single permit comes with commitments, so with CapEx, so when you start to explore. So what you want to be really, really lean on the way you define the best location with a target, with a clear objective that you want to drill and to prove that this is a breakthrough the energy market needs, which is the real commitment of Mantle 8. So that's where we are at the moment, right?
Which is also then just reflecting on this, which is why, well, first and foremost, I think you being geologists is so important to get this right and to follow that path of capital efficiency to say, look, we don't need a massive amount of capital. We just basically need to find the one spot where we're super confident that this will work out. And then we're able to demonstrate it and that this will be a game changer instead of, almost like back in the old days of the oil and gas business where you could just drill numerous times and it wouldn't really matter because you drill, you wouldn't find something, you'd move on. But you'd have the capital reserves to do this over and over again. It wouldn't necessarily matter. It's still exploration costs, but in the grand scheme of things, the upside was always higher than the downside of not spending this money and potentially finding the reserves that you were looking for. So that's really interesting. And the other part of the question that I asked before was sort of what sets you apart from the other companies joining you in on this gold rush, if you want to call it the gold rush.
I think, well, we cannot be too much dogmatic, and we don't really know what are the different strategies around. There are a lot of different companies with different strategies. But I think, from what I know, you can define companies with two different, populations. There are one, applying what we call top-down exploration. So that's, in a way, that's super pragmatic, right? What you want is not necessarily understand, the process at play underneath. What you want is to detect. So you have different way to detect, right? You make airborne surveys, you go in the field to measure what you have, within the ground, or, like 1 meter deep surface, or you collect, from oil and gas data, and you check, if certain wells in the past were eventually, measuring hydrogen at depth. So that's a top-down approach, so you are taking less risks that faster. So we believe, of course, that's something that needs to be done. But then you are only finding what was found before, in a way, and the scalability challenge is about predicting where out of the zones you can monitor hydrogen at the surface you should go to find massive amount of hydrogen. And that's other approach is bottom up. And that's our focus at Mantle 8, because we are geologists. So we believe the way to scalability is to predict where to go, even though you are not seeing something at the surface. Because the point is, like, again, hydrogen is so reactive that the chance that this molecule on its way to surface react and it's not hydrogen anymore when it reaches the surface is super, super high. So in other terms, we need to find hydrogen where it is not really measurable, at the surface. And that's what makes Mantle 8 really different. We first start from the ground. We first start from the geological principle of natural hydrogen, and we focus on the most promising systems, just focusing, on the most potential, the high potential rock generating hydrogen, which is actually known, right? So Mantle, that gave the name to Mantle 8, is basically about these rock that gives such a potential of generating hydrogen. So that's the way I see our difference. And also, we believe we are a bit at the forefront, because as soon as you clarify this, and we were clarifying a couple of years ago already, you can start to build your technological stack, to fit the needs of such a bottom-up exploration, which is applying right now.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is sort of because you have that, well, decades of geological experience and you're coming from the rock and had that insight very early on, that allowed you to now build the tech stack in order to find the tech solution to do everything you described before, ultimately leading to the discovery of those ideal locations, right? And sort of that gives you the edge in the market and hopefully that advantage over others out there.
That's what we think, and that's what we do, and then also what we should all agree, you know, as also a natural hygiene community, is like every single parameters, you know, at the background of it is not yet super clear, so there are a lot of, you know, like basic research topics that is still like, you know, in the academic world. And that's also the reason why when I was creating Mantle, to me it was super, super important to stay extremely connected with the best academic colleagues, you know, and share myself with an active research and to provide like new possibilities to develop the exploration and, you know, to reach this objective to be predictive. And in other terms, it turns like being able for the needs of climate to deliver this breakthrough needs to act as a community and integrating, you know, like our kind of companies and tech-enabled companies interacting with the right person on the academic side of the barrier, and also on the other side, you know, with regulators or the company. And when we're mentioning like bottom-up and top-down strategies, they are both, you know, key elements of a global, you know, a natural hygiene world. We need everyone because what we can deliver at the end is so important that it needs to act like a team, you know, out of so the company. And that's what we think is so important. So our commitment is to build this ecosystem and be part of such an ecosystem.
It sounds a lot more like cooperation than competition. What maybe it is because it's so novel, and I think the way you just described it with the unknowns that you're still facing is such a good example that it still needs the input from so many partners, whether it's academia, and I would even assume that there's probably a good exchange between other companies in the field that you're learning from each other and sort of sharing what you can share in order to make the ecosystem work better together, because then there's also the other stakeholders, right? So you mentioned the regulators. I would assume the general public also has a stance on it to sort of say, look, natural hydrogen, I haven't heard about it, so there needs to be a lot of education happening, and so on and so on. It's a very interesting field because it's moving so fast, and I think the way you described it, to look at it from a look, we need to do this together because we need to succeed, and in order to succeed, the upside will be so huge. Both, well, and first and foremost for the climate, because we'll be able to produce cheap hydrogen at scale. This is what we want. This is what the energy transition and the transition to net zero needs. Therefore, let's do everything that we can working together in order to get there. I think that's a really interesting and unique approach because you don't see that in other industries super often when it comes to energy storage, for example. I always feel this is a sector where, you know, it's a my solution is so much better than their solution. You know, battery type A comes with disadvantages, ours doesn't, and so on and so on. So sort of it's a well, I think the general sense is yes, we need a whole lot of technological solutions. And at the same time that also leads to creating that uncertainty of, well, you know, if you're saying we have advantages and the other say we have advantages, who should I bet on? Who will be the winner? I think in your case, it's look, the end goal is super clear because it's natural hydrogen. We all work on finding that. How do we get there? What do we need to do together in order to get there? I think that's a very different and refreshing approach.
And that's a mission, you know. We all know that, you know, it comes with risks, you know. And when you are running a company, especially a startup, right, you're taking amazing risks. But look, you know, of course, these risks need to be taken. You know, that's our duty because, you know, where we are going is like that's potentially totally disruptive. So of course, there are different way to reach, you know, the same goal. So that's the reason why it's so important also to think like part of an ecosystem, but as a CEO and founder of Mantle 8, and I can tell you this is really the DNA of this company. This is a mission, that we need to do. There is no other choice than going to the very end, because look, there is a very high probability that it works and it has a serious impact. As a father, as well as a scientist, what could make you more happy than being facing such a challenge and be part of that? That's disruptive, and that's an amazing journey. So that's what makes this so exciting.
Yeah, super exciting. And then you mentioned just the journey. So you sort of shared some parts of what it is that you're working on right now. But let's look slightly further ahead. So in 3 to 5 years, how far have you come at Mental Age? Sort of what's the time scale?
I mean, time is essence. So as I mentioned, climate is not waiting. So our duty is to go as fast as possible. So our commitment at Mantle 8 is to make, every single day a journey to reach the proof point. And the proof point is nothing else than, drilling and finding a producible reserve with high quantity and very close to the offtakes, very close to the market. That's why Europe is so exciting, because you are always like close to the market, and so it makes like what we want at Mantle 8. We have already a couple of areas that we believe is super high potential. What we want is to reach this proof point, so to drill and to show that this is a reality by 2028, and of course then it takes an extra time to produce and to develop it. But we can't avoid this proof point. So our duty as geoscientists and as a startup is to say, well, we cannot go out from this proof point. We want to go there. And we will do all of our, forces and our energy to reach this point. That's commitment here.
So sort of in 3 years' time, because 2028 is not that far away, I have to say. It's approaching a lot faster than, especially sort of in this novel era, right? Again, sort of if you look back at November 24, where people, or at least I didn't know anything about white hydrogen, and out of a sudden, you're saying in 28 we're able to hopefully have the proof point that all of this works out. That's very fast, especially for such a massive undertaking. It's not like you're just writing. I mean, I don't want to sound, don't want to make this sound easy, but sort of in the software companies in the climate tech space, it's a very different undertaking, right? You sit in your office and you write a piece of code and sort of build this together, and then 4 years or 3.5 years would be a long timeline. But for you, you're sort of geology, rocks, processes that are so difficult to understand, all the science that needs to get into this. It's a very different ball game, and then 3 years is very, very fast.
Yeah, and that's super ambitious, and even potentially overambitious. But look, what we want is to set up
Well, you need
something.
to aim high in order to reach the goal, right? And you said before, sort of, we don't have the time, and speed is the
And
one important part.
what we need is to align the planet. So of course, to reach this point and to be able to deliver it with this time, this timeline, you need a perfect combination of talents, and so that's what Mantle 8 needs right now. You need to find the right locations, and there we're also really lucky, because we are not starting right now. So Mantle 8 just came in the game, but that's based on the pharma company I was building earlier, that was collecting so much data, that was developing the R&D at the background of Mantle 8. So we started actually our journey years ago. So we are not starting from scratch. So that's why we can really ambitious. And then what you need is basically to get the best partners in the world. So that's what I was convincing myself through 2024. I was connected with different partners, financial partners, regulators, talents, and at some point, you are really confident, so my partners, also, my investors, they are just breaking so much, thrust into what we are developing, They are tech lovers, right? So they do see what we are basically doing every single day, and gives you, the extra kick of energy you need to deliver it, and that makes you super, super like confident that such an objective for 2028, 2030, is really reachable, right? That's about aligning the planet with all of that, and yeah, we're really confident on that road.
Yeah, and I think the point that you mentioned there, having the right investors, having the right team on board, having the right partners around you, that just makes those stars align, or sort of the, you mentioned the trifecta before, sort of I think it allows you to do what you want to do in the best possible way. And I think it gives you this extra boost of energy and this feeling of there's something special going on. I think it's sort of this flow moment, right? You realize, wow, something is really working out here that it didn't feel like this probably in the former company before, because out of a sudden there's so much interest. There's people, brilliant people that I get to work with and share that mission. That's really unique. So I'm really excited to hear that those stars align for you, and hope that will continue like this for you going forward.
Oh, that's what we do every single day, but yeah, as soon as you discuss with those partners and you see they were roughly seeing every kind of companies around the globe, and they said, well, guys, this geology is what we need. So I'm a scientist, I'm a geologist, so I was never really connected with that part of the world, VC world and so on. And then you get kind of VCs arriving, and you say, wow, that's not what I was expecting from this person. They are scientists, so only, investors. They are like, super, committed into the tech part. They are challengers. So the value added is way beyond money. And when you are leading a startup like this, when you're also with your team, you are just looking at it saying, oh, wow, this is exactly the team of energy we needed. And it makes you, able to do it. And so that's why you are super optimistic, right? So that's a fantastic moment, as an entrepreneur. You're there and say, wow, what an amazing momentum. And of course, we need to take that.
I have a follow-up question on that, just out of curiosity and interest there. Because you mentioned that, you're a geologist by training. We mentioned this a number of times. What was the biggest learning in sort of you turning this into now a climate tech company, and sort of moving away from offering that R&D to other companies into, hey, we're building our own products and sort of be an essential part of the value chain? What, and out of a sudden you need to talk to VCs, who might have more of a business background and so on. So sort of what's been the biggest learning, or and the biggest surprise so far on this journey for you?
I think, well, to be simple, I think if you think about what the modern period of human life, of human history was a resource and an energy journey. Of course, we are criticizing a lot oil and gas because of the consequences. We are speaking about climate, and yeah, I mean that's a real issue. But all of that is actually a development journey which is based on energy. So everything is coming back to this, to create, a good level of life, to develop, and to project ourselves in the future. What you need is resources anyway. You need energy, and it's coming back always to geology. So then, I remember like 2, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was discussing with people. I was super optimistic with the future of geology, right? And they were always saying, no, that's over, right? Oil and gas company is decreasing, all of that is over. So if you're a geologist, you should find, another field to yourself for your future and to find a job. Well, what I was learning is exactly the contrary. The future is geology. Whatever, the kind of things you are looking at, resources, energy, climate change, how to, to get the CO2 from the atmosphere and to store it into and to changing it to stone. All of that is back to geology. So what I was learning through this journey is like geologists, they are more useful than ever, and we have an amazing journey, in front of us. That's why, I'm super proud to be there and to be a geologist. The journey is just ahead, right? Geology will basically could change the world, could change the possibility.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting that you use the tools that geology provides you with and the insights and the knowledge that geology provides you with, but this time sort of for something else, and again in the energy field, but this time for clean energy. And I think this is really the interesting part that the oil and gas majors have used geology so long to produce energy that we needed in the past and have perfected that game. And now you're doing something similar, but in the clean sphere, which is, I would say, even more exciting.
Yeah, we're on a sphere, this sphere is Earth, and well, the potential is coming from there because we are not moving away from Earth right now. So of course
Although
what
some, work hard on that as well to bring us to Mars. But that can, once you've cracked the natural hydrogen challenge, that could be your next geological challenge to see what's on Mars. But for now, stay here in order to solve that issue.
And we need to take care about home. So that's
Exactly.
what the duty is here.
Exactly. Just then on the last question, I mean, I think you already answered this in parts, but I'm still interested because the challenge that you tackle is such a big one. And in so many ways, a difficult one because you're working with so many unknowns, right? Like what you described as sort of, we know that there is natural hydrogen, but we can't really measure it because sort of the natural hydrogen that we're after has often turned into something else by the time sort of it reaches surface, so we don't really know for sure. So you're operating above ground, but you're looking for something that's underground, and trying to do this in a capital efficient way. Because if you had all the resources in the world, well, I think it'd probably be a different ball game. Reality is, you don't, unfortunately don't have that money in brackets yet. So there's so many stones to stay in the geology field in your way in order to succeed, and yet you keep pushing. And I think everyone who's listened to this episode so far, with so much energy and so much enthusiasm, what is it that sparks that drive that keeps you going every day to set out this ambitious goal of, look, in 28 we're gonna get there. And it's a massive challenge. I will make this work together with my amazing team and the amazing partners that I'm surrounded by. What is it that brings you this energy?
Well, in a way, as you mentioned, I answered already. But look, just coming back to what is really important, so I have kids, I have two daughters, and in the morning when you're there, and we are living in the French Alps, so you have literally the mountain just in front of you, and you see the impact of climate change. You say, oh wow, So what do you want to do? Be passive and try to manage and adapt your way, or do you want to be active and give them the possibility to continue to live into a sustainable world, but also to keep this level of life, because so at some point, energy is prosperity. That's what 1 century of energy just showed, right? So that's what gives you this energy. You say no. When you feel that you have something and you clearly see a way to tackle this amazing challenge, we can't avoid. You need to do it. That's a mission. So that's what pushes you. And even though the daughters and the family complains because you're a super busy person, you say, well, of course,
Yeah.
that's need to be done. And
Good.
that's what you must do. So it makes you happy, and that's a commitment. And the feedback is really fundamental. So that's the reason. That's the principal motivation.
And I think that's a perfect way to end us on. I think, as with many other interviews on the show before, once sort of kids come into play, that they change the way I'd argue you think about the world and sort of how you see certain things and what gives you energy. I totally agree. Sort of as soon as you realize the impact of climate change and you realize that you have tools at your disposal to do something about it, that should be your main driver and the main focus of your work. And I feel like you really get something there. So best of luck on this journey. Looking forward to following that process closely. And then I'm pretty sure we'll speak soon again on the show to see how the process went and the promising results or the promising ideas have turned into results. I think that'd be a great update.
Yeah, well, we are really enthusiastic persons, and we love to share. So it will be a pleasure. So whenever you want, Jan. When.
Wonderful. Thank you, Manu, for your time today. All the best and fingers crossed for much light.
Yeah, that's work. Well done.
Thank
So let's do it.
you. Bye-bye.